Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. If this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I am grateful to have met and worked with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you all can do me a big favor. Please check out some of our past shows at AnswersForTheFamily.com to hear some informative and entertaining guests, as well as dynamic co-hosts, discuss ways for you and your loved ones to become happier, healthier, and more at peace. I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from a particular show. I want you to know that when I tell you some statistics a little later on in the show, you're going to realize that we all know somebody in this situation that we're going to be talking about. I want all of you to know that I really, truly appreciate the input that we get, the questions, the referrals, the references. It helps us so much, and it's just another way that we together can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, with me, as you have grown to learn over the past few Mondays, is Jenny Carrington, and she's going to be staying with us as the guest co-host. If you didn't hear last week or one of the last couple of weeks, she is walking across the United States for a variety of charitable reasons. But one of the things that I love most is she is showing everybody, and especially young people, that we can all do something to make a difference. I talk to so many young people that say, well, I don't know, what can I really do? Well, guess what? She's doing it. So, Jenny, thank you so much for being here and for everything that you're doing. So share a little bit with our listeners about you and about how you got to the point where you decided you're going to walk across the United States.
Well, thank you, Alan, and thank you for all of you who are listening and who maybe have listened as I've been on the show the past couple weeks. I'm checking in today from Palm Desert, California. So I am so excited that I am finally nearing the West Coast. I left on March 10th of 2019 from Delaware and have been walking on foot. I hit 2,800 miles this week since the last show, so I'm excited to share that. And I'm going to be arriving in LA on March 10th of 2020 on my one-year anniversary. And as Alan pointed out, I am walking for a cause. So I was really inspired to take a massive action because of the amount of homelessness and food insecurity that is directly related to the way that we're treating the climate and our planet. We have a very unsustainable food system, and we as a company actually have some of the solutions and the answers for that. So my goal in walking is to raise awareness for people to start talking about how we can collectively take care of our planet and to particularly bring greenhouses to schools to educate children about growing their own food in an environment that's beneficial for the earth and the soil.
And for those that want to get involved, share how they can get involved and what are some of the things that could really help the most.
So we have basically been forming what we call a big family. And I love that the show is called Answers for the Family. One of the concepts is of my company, We Are Mother Earth, is that we're all related. So the way that people can get involved is just by first follow this story and start to think about the way that you are treating the planet every day in your own life. And you can do that by finding us on social media. My handle is at Jenny with a Y, meatballs like the food. Or you can go to the website, easycard.com/Mother Earth. That's easycard.com/Mother Earth. And that'll connect you to our website, to our social media. You can follow my story and the story of our company and the cause.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for everything you're doing out there. And can you stay with us for this hour and just hang out and ask some questions of our guest? I think it would be wonderful. And then at the end, maybe remind everybody again on what they can do to help in this cause.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm really honored to be able to stay on the show today. Marnie, it's great to meet you. I come from a blended family as well. I'm the oldest of 13 siblings blended. So I'm really excited to hear what you have to say. And I know that being from a blended family myself has contributed to my resilience and my ability to do what I'm doing.
And for all of you.
Absolutely. There's so many positives.
Oh, go ahead.
That's all. There are just so many positives that come out of what can be a bad situation, but oftentimes it makes kids a lot more resilient.
And for those of you out there, if you are starting to figure out what our topic today is, it is also the title of our guest's new book, which is Downsizing the Blended Home, When Two Households Become One. So I started looking this up and try to pull some statistics. And according to the Step Family Foundation, 60% of American families live in some form of divorced or step family relationship, which makes the information that our guests bring to us in this particular situation so very important. So joining us, as you just heard, is Marnie Jamison, and she is one of America's most loved home and lifestyle columnists. Her humorous and helpful column appears in 25 newspapers nationwide. She reaches millions of readers each week. She is the author of 4 critically acclaimed books, Downsizing the Family Home, its companion workbook, The House Always Wins, and House of Havoc. She has written for many magazines, including Women's Day, Family Circle, and Forbes, and many major metropolitan newspapers. She is also a frequent guest on local and national TV and radio. She's appeared on NBC Nightly News, Martha Stewart Living, and Fox and Friends, just to name a few. Now, her weekly column, At Home with Marnie Jamison, appears in more than 20 newspapers throughout the United States, reaching more than 5 million readers each week. So At Home with Marnie Jamison is a helpful and hilarious column that's as much about home life as about the home design. Now, her column taps what many publications unfortunately ignore, relationships and realities. So covering all these things, including good hostess gifts or blending style with a new partner and decluttering while you downsize so that you can live together very well, very nicely, and you can do it now. Now, the tone of her column gives readers sort of a I've been there point of view that they can truly relate to because it's combined with humor as well as hard-earned advice. Marnie, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Alan, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, as I said in the introduction, your column, I love the fact that it is both humorous as well as giving a lot of really good information. And I really felt like you were speaking to me, on certain things. I would read it and go, wow, that's what I went through, or maybe that's what I did. Tell us a little bit about your background that sort of puts you in this situation to be able to write so eloquently on this subject.
Well, thank you for that. And I know I just like to say, I'm just the girl next door figuring it out as I go. I don't have a lot of initials after my name. I have writing degrees, not home decorating degrees. But I wanted, so I'm hearing some feedback. I wanted to be able to, have a beautiful home, have a beautiful lifestyle. And I wasn't always sure how to get there. So I started writing about it And the nice thing about being a journalist is you have access to people because they want to have an audience. So I was able to ask top lifestyle experts, top home designers, folks for information that would help me personally, as well as my readers. And I kind of channeled it through so I could give folks information that helped them live more beautifully, simpler. And as I was going through my own life transitions, for instance, downsizing my parents' home when they went into assisted living at ages 89, I had a whole experience with that. And that's something that a lot of people related to have been through. And I was trying to shine the flashlight as best I could. And that's turned out to be something that is, it's really touched a lot of people. And it makes me very grateful that I've been able to help them.
And Jenny, I know that, again, in the introduction, you mentioned that you went through this on a huge scale. Share a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was very young, my parents divorced at a young age and both remarried. My second stepfather passed away. My stepmother was out of the picture, and then both of my parents remarried a third time. So it was, a lot of transition, a lot of moving physical homes, as well as all of those underlying relational dynamics that Marnie is talking about. So sounds really exciting to hear that she's touching a little bit on some of that fun surface stuff of things that you can do together to make the transitions feel joyful, and also a little bit of that relational stuff as well.
And Marnie, along those lines where the parents are marrying and remarrying and stuff, I know that you talk a little bit about it in the book, but tell us a little bit in general about divorces, as well as couples waiting longer to marry. Are there far more blended families these days with two established adults? I mean, is this for the first, the second, the fifth time? Share a little bit about some of the same things you touch on in the book on that subject.
Well, there's a lot. You touch on a really important statistic that the step family is the norm. It's 60% or more families are living in step today. And so it's not the unusual case anymore at all. And in 2 in 5 marriages, one person has been married before. And in 1 in 5 marriages, both partners have been married before. So, it blended, remarrying, it's very common. And, what I talk about in my book is not, we talk about the relationships for sure, but it's also the house and how to make the furniture kind of come together and get along. And as we get older, folks who are getting married at an older age tend to have more things they've earned and loved and bought, and they've established a style and a look. And when they marry with someone who's a little bit older age, they're kind of resistant to change that. So in 1998, for example, the average age of marriage for women was 23 and for men was 26, and probably they hadn't accumulated a whole lot by then. But 20 years later, the average age of the first marriage for women is 27, and for men it's 29. And many have started their look, and they're getting their homes and collecting some furniture, maybe bought a piece of art. And when you try to, maybe you love your partner a lot, but their stuff not so much. And, then photos of men on horses and rodeos and you like, Paris scenes, it's a trick to get it to come together. So I talk about the visual aspects of it, but I also talk a lot about the heart. And we can talk a little bit about, and I'd love to get Jenny's take on it, but how you have to make every person in the new blended home feel like they have a place. And reflect them in that space. So it's been a journey for me as I've lived it and reported it and written about it. It's taught me a lot.
Yeah, Marnie, thank you for addressing that. Space is a big issue, right? So there's style, and then there's also space. And for me, I'm curious what your take is. Like I came from my mother's side of the family who was. She was moving up in her career, so our home kept getting bigger and bigger. And then on my dad's side, it was the opposite. He was sort of falling backward and kept downsizing, kind of moving in with his new partner, right? Kind of what you're talking about. And when me and my brother would go over, they had their three children, and it was quite a tight space in a one bedroom apartment, and they kind of had to create space for us to feel like we had, you know, a bed and a you know, our own blanket or little things like that as children. Mm-hmm. Do you talk mostly about the adults and how they're blending, or is it also about the children?
I talk about the children, but what I really kept coming at this from is from a home design standpoint. And my experience with when I remarried later in life, I was in my 50s and my husband was two, my new husband. And we both had fully loaded houses. He was a widower and he had a house that he had shared with his late wife for 18 years and their three kids. And I had, you know, I was divorced, so I had less, I had a lot of furniture, but not as much. It's a full house. But we were trying to make one house together. And that's where I started. But I have two daughters. He has three children. And we were also, they're grown, but we also needed to make sure that cultures came together. So, you know, I went in this very naively. I was said, honey, I got this. I've written three books on home design. And, you know, you're a lawyer, so you go do your day job. That's great. And I'll do this. So I took care of the house. And he's like, wait, I think I would like my stuff in there too. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad. So, you know, it was kind of like, I realized one house plus one house has to equal one house. And we both had to give up half a house and make the new house feel fair to us as adults and make him feel reflected and represented. So when his kids came over, they could see his history merging with mine and vice versa. And that took, he had a very different style to what I was used to. And I thought I was all that. I was actually a live-in home stager. I was living in high-end homes, decorating them with my furniture to help them sell at a higher price. So I was all full of myself. You know, I'm like, oh, don't even forget your stuff, right? I've got this. And boy, was I an idiot, because I learned it's not all about the look. It's about how are you feeling and representing yourself and your family in that space. So I like to say, I do not know where the line between home design and home life is, because it's a blur. Home life and home design is all one in my mind. And how you design a home reflects who lives there. And you need to remember all the players.
Yeah. Marnie, this sounds like it could be on TLC.
It would have been some reality show. Ah.
No, actually, it really does. I was thinking the same thing, because it's very visual. And so, Marnie, as you were explaining it and the way in which you were doing it, there really is a visual component to it. And I was thinking the same thing. It was, wow, this could actually be that kind of show. Because, again, with 60% of the families out there, you know, at some point needing to blend like this, that there's so many things that we don't think about. And again, part of it is the, you know, the psychological side. Part of it is the physical side. And then, as you're saying, is that there are things that, you know, for instance, and for me, there are things that I like, that there is a sentimental value to it that may not necessarily fit into whatever the style, you know, might be of, you know, of the new partner. But it doesn't mean that it's not important. And, you know, maybe it ends up in a different room or something like that. But, yeah, I can see where that could be quite an issue for a lot of people.
So, Marnie, do people hire you? I heard your, credentials, which are amazing, and I'm looking forward to tapping into your column or your book or both. But do people hire you to work with them individually, or families take you in or do anything like that?
You know, I'm so busy working on the columns and the books and writing and everything. I don't do a lot of that. I have been asked, and from time to time I'll weigh in. But the biggest help I can be is to send them a column or two that's related to a situation that they're having and talk them through it. Or sometimes they send me some pictures and I give them some advice that way. But to take it on as a full-time job, I don't have bandwidth for that right now. But it would be, you know, I think the book can help people figure it out. I think they know. I learned as I went. I did not have the answers when I started, which is what I love about being a writer, is you figure it out by the time you're done writing something. But I didn't factor in how important, like, we both really wanted our dining room tables, right? And, you know, we both had visions of everyone eating around their table. And oh my gosh, that our heels really dug in over that. And I go through the whole list of what you can do in that situation. And it talks, you know, what we ultimately did, which isn't necessarily the right answer, but gosh, you have to be so sensitive. So, you know, can you use it as a desk? Can you use it as a patio table? Can you use it as a table upstairs? You know, can you use it somewhere else? Can you use one person's chairs and the other person's table? Or can you sell it and get a great centerpiece? Something that at least addresses the attachment that we have to our belongings, and don't just scrape somebody's most cherished items off the plate because they're not a fit. So there's a way to do it, and a caring, sensitive way to do it, and it lets both parties be present. Like one of the things I suggest in my book is let both partners choose five things, pick a number, 5, 6, 8, 4, that will break their heart to let go of. And, you know, it sounds like Alan has a couple of those pieces, and we had a couple of those pieces. And then you just say, okay, we're going to make these work. We're just going to make these work. And then you try to do a yours, mine, and ours, trying to then create what is your look around those pivotal pieces. So I think that's a great strategy.
Well,
do any of your columns have photos, like before and after?
Everyone. Yeah. Great. Everyone. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have always, they always go with art. They run in home and garden sections of newspapers, and the home and garden editors always want a nice photo, so they will. And I do have a blog on my website that includes, I run all the columns that appear in the newspaper. 2.5 weeks later, I put them up on my blog. So we have an archive of them, and folks who don't get the paper or their paper doesn't carry my column can always find them. But they're a little behind what my editors pay for, so I give it. My editors first get first scoop.
So, and
you know, I have an interesting. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Alan.
I was just going to say that while you were mentioning that, for anybody that's listening, so the website is MarnieJamieson.com. It's MarnieJamieson.com. If you want to go to the website, if you're driving, obviously, don't try to write this down. But you can always go to our Answers for the Family site, and we would have that right there for you.
Thank you for sharing that. I definitely want to get that website from you when we're done with the show. But I also just got to thinking, you know, I don't know why I didn't think of this before. When I'm done with my walk, I'm actually going to be moving back in to my apartment in LA with my subtenant. So it's going to be two of us sharing a one-bedroom apartment. And she's been living there for 5 years in my apartment, and she redecorated the whole thing. So this is actually a very timely conversation for me.
Oh my. Yes.
We'll be living together for about 3 or 4 months, not long term. You know what? I visited recently, and saw some items and thought, Oh wow. Like there's some feels going on here. You know, some of my stuff moved or missing, or you know, so I can definitely see how you have a very valuable service and offering.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm sure it's been a theme on Alan's show, communication trumps it all. And
yes,
if you've had some good conversations in advance, and hopefully with a few visual aids like photographs, like what do you think we should do with this sofa, you know, maybe you can head off some of the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You are in a tricky situation. But I think kind of taking a step back, and I think the other thing for me, because I love good design, I love a good looking house. I worked really hard to create a style, and then you know, for me to remember that the relationship is first, and you know, what do I really want here? To have my chair in the place that I want it, or for my husband to feel welcome and loved and respected and nurtured at home. Right. So you have to get your priorities straight.
You know, Marnie, one of the things that I loved about the book as I was going through it was that you have feedback from other couples. Share a little bit about some of the things that you learned by interviewing these other couples and them sharing the things that they went through that you didn't necessarily go through, but it helped you understand what other people are going through and obviously helped make the book a success.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's not all about me. There are plenty of people who have gone through this and they deal with their own signature. And I have, you know, I have this one that's a family. They're in Oklahoma, and it's not just about couples getting together. This was a, a mom, a single divorced mom, and her daughter lived not far away and was married. And they were the daughter and her son had dinner with the mom a lot. They were always over at each other's houses. And one night over dinner, somebody said, "This is ridiculous. We have two cable bills, two lawn services. We should just get one house together." And everyone went, "Yeah, let's do that." Even the son-in-law, he was like the first one to jump in. And so they built a house that has a mother-in-law suite, and they merged their homes. They sold their respective homes, and they just see it's a beautiful path going forward. And ideally the young couple will have kids someday, and grandma will be there to help them out. And they've just figured it out, but they did have to give up some of their prized possessions to make it all work out. So being with them, and, you know, it's just so nice to get, pull up a chair and be part of these people's journeys and in very important parts of their lives. We had another couple who, they didn't work out. She was a designer and he was kind of an uptown girl, and he was kind of a downtown guy, and he liked his black leather furniture, and he liked his condo, and she liked a big lake house. And they ended up moving in together, and they were engaged, and they realized they could not make it work. They moved out, and they're still seeing each other. But, you know, it's funny, as you get older, and as you get older in your ways and set in your ways, you're just like, you know what? I'm happier not doing this. So it's not always a success, but that is a success, to find out what works for you and what doesn't. So everyone has a little different approach, and I love hearing the stories.
Jenny Carrington and I are speaking with Marnie Jamison. We're talking about her new book, Downsizing the Blended Home: When Two Households Become One. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Marnie what might be one of the bigger questions that some people aren't really asking when they should. Where are we going to live? And how's that decision going to be? And how's that decision going to be made? Stay with us. You're listening to Answers for the Family. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. My guest co-host is Jenny Carrington, and our guest is Marnie Jamison, and we're talking about downsizing the blended house. So with that in mind, Marnie, where are we going to live, and who's going to make that decision?
Gosh, I just talked to a couple just last week, and they got married at ages 62 and 57 or something, and they didn't like each other's places at all. I mean, they just really didn't want to live in each other's places. So obviously, financially, sometimes you have to move into one of the partner's homes. It just makes the most sense. And I've addressed that in the book. You know, let's say the woman's moving into the man's place. He has to do more than move his clothes over in the closet, right? You need to really take everything out and look at everything objectively, look at her things, and redo it and make it the space about the both of you. So that's really important. If you're fortunate, and I don't know if you can, if it makes most sense to buy a place together, that's when you start to think about the where. And obviously, I'm sure Jenny experienced, if there are kids in the mix, school, their school attachment, their friends, their sports, all of that plays a huge role And you need to really look at your lifestyle. You know, do we need urban? Do we need suburban? Do we need, what's the commute like? All those things, and you kind of make your checklist together. And that's pretty a neutral thing to do. Like, you know, who's working where, what kids are going where, kind of make that list. And then how much space do we really need? Not how much do we want, but how much do you really need? I don't, even though my books are called Downsizing, I like to call it Right Sizing. I don't think you should live a, you know, some small life. I think you should have enough space, but not too much. Think about your pets. Think about, you know, just the, how many bedrooms you need. So those are the kind of the categories. Then go, okay, now where does it make sense to look? And start thinking about that neighborhood and take some time really getting to know the neighborhood before you plunk down your roots there. But well, I think that's a good way to collaboratively go about it.
Well, and that's a great point when you just said you need to look into the neighborhood. There's a lot of things, and you use the term in the book, checking under the hood. let's talk about some of those things, because in that thing you say, you know, you need to look at you know, what is the crime rate where you're going to live? You know, if you still have children, you know, which schools are going to be available to you? What's the traffic situation? What's the noise situation? And so on. Share a little bit about some of those things. And also, you refer to something as the acid test. And what exactly is that?
Well, I think you need to really ask your realtor who is, you know, what is this neighborhood like, and get some statistics on crime. Find out, you know, if there are more people who own the home that live in them than rent them. You know, if there's a lot of transient in the neighborhood, it might not be as stable. Ask neighbors about how many school-age kids are there. Ask about traffic, and really know about, you know, the animals. You know, why is the person leaving? It may be hard to get the answer, but a lot of people move because they don't like their neighbors, or there's a dog that barks day and night, or there's somebody who practices drums, you know, after hours, and all those things you need to find out about. And I think that's something that you need to get ahead of. So, you know, I guess if you ask the neighbors in the neighborhood, get to, you know, see a couple of them, go and visit the house on the weekend, see if there's neighbors out front. Just say, you know, as frankly as you can be, is there any reason I shouldn't buy this house? Is there anything I need to know? And, you know, if you had to do this over, would you do it? And hopefully you're going to get an honest answer. That's your acid test.
Okay.
So I do have a question about these decisions. Do you find, or do you address in your book, since, forgive me, I haven't read it yet, that does a person who is contributing more financially, do you feel that they should have a bigger say? So if one person's really the one who is owning the home and paying the bills and the other person's moving in, do you address any of those kind of tensions with ownership and finances in regards to who's purchasing the house being the decision maker?
You know, I think that you've touched on such a touchy topic. And I do think that runs through a lot of things in a house. In some more traditional relationships, the man might be making more money, but leaves all the home decision to the wife. I mean, women still do mostly buy homes. And in some couples, the husband doesn't really care about the decorating and just wants to stand down and let the wife have her way with the house. So there's that. I do think that, and I talk about it in the book, one woman who didn't want her name shared, she moved into a house and started paying half of the mortgage and never got her name on the mortgage and felt that wasn't fair. And so I think there needs to be some equitable discussions about, you know, who's really trying, what is the underneath control factor here? And it's certainly much nicer if you're not playing that. Well, I pay more, therefore I get, you know, I make 70% of the income and I get 70% of the, I don't think that's really how it should play out. I think it should be a partnership and you're both contributing in your own ways and it shouldn't be about who makes the most money.
I tend to agree, but I think you made a great point in saying that in terms of actually having your name on a mortgage, you know, that's an important thing to have if you're contributing. So thanks for bringing that up and addressing that.
Yeah, and I think it's...
I think women need to be, stand up for that, because I think some of them just don't think it's important and you need to be on the documents.
Yes. And again, thank you so much for sharing that. I was thinking about it as well and was going to bring it up if you didn't. So thank you. Now, we have some listener questions that have come in. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to do this. I know that we get a lot of people that work during the day, so they'll send them in sometimes the evening before or early in the morning before the show. This one reads, what a great topic. I just moved in with my fiancé, who has a few truly awful pieces of furniture that he was determined to keep. It says, it never occurred to me when we were planning to move in together that he would want to keep this stuff since mine is so much nicer. It says, I love the bluntness. So after some very heated exchanges, it says, we came up with a wonderful solution to create a man cave for him in the back of the house, what we call the Florida room. It says the best part is that his buddies can come over and they can watch sports together without messing up the rest of the house, and he has his own comfy place to call his own. It says another friend is getting married soon, and this blending households can be serious. I want her to have a copy of this book so she can prep for the challenges ahead. And this is from Lucy in Tennessee.
Well, I mean, I do think it is a good book because I've run the traps for you. I'm living it. I ran through it a little. I took all the bullets. So help a friend out. And if you know anyone who's getting married or moving in together at any stage, remarriage or first marriage, you know, especially if it's after mid-20s, this will save a lot of arguments. And I hope I deliver the message with some friendly humor, because you have to kind of go, oh goodness, I mean, I'm really getting a fight over a chair. And the first story is cute about the awful pieces, and it sounds like they found a really nice way to do it. Repurposing is always good. Turning something that was, a hideous table maybe into something on the patio, or taking a piece of it and turning it into some wall art. I think there's some creative things you can do that doesn't, you don't have to feature some of the really hideous stuff. We have the situation where my husband literally, I try to say this without sounding disparaging, but I can't help it. He has this artist he loves who literally paints on aircraft aluminum. It's like spray paint on aircraft aluminum. And it's a lot of money. It's not like some cheap artist, but I'm like, seriously, I have like landscape oils of outdoor scenes. And so I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And you know what? It's featured in our family room. The oils are in the living room and the entryway. The family room has his aircraft aluminum spray painted, whatever. I put special art lights on them so they, stand out. I play them up instead of play them down. And I've got integrated pillows, and I pulled them into the house. And they've grown on me.
Well, and one of the questions that I think a lot of people have is, what are some of the biggest challenges if you're moving into just one of the homes? So you have the two completely separate homes. One of them is already completely furnished. One of them, is set up exactly the way one of the people wanted. Does that make it more difficult than if you're just going out and buying a new house? Because at least then you're sort of looking at different rooms and saying, we're going to put this here or that there. Share a little bit about some of those challenges.
Yeah, we have Dean and Rebecca who fit that, and they're in the book, and that's exactly what happened. And Dean works in the furniture business, and he'd been a widower, a divorcee for 11 years or so, and he'd been dating Rebecca for 8 of those years, and she had her own apartment, and what happened was they rescued a dog, and they were fighting over who got to keep the dog, and the dog forced them to move in together, which is pretty cute. But Dean was very particular, and he thought, I've done everything just right. I know what I'm doing. And he did soften. He let her bring in her bedroom set and put it in the guest room, and she gets a lot bigger say than he thought she might in some of the decisions going forward. She had the house painted a color that she likes, but it does have his fingerprints all over it, and they're working on getting her reflected a little bit more and more in the house. But it's been a challenge for them, and she'll be the first to tell you that it was, you know, she kind of capitulated, but I think there's more work to be done there. It's an important, but and he's softening too. So that's a challenge. I think a lot of people, and I've heard another, and this was a gentleman again, he just said, well, that just doesn't make any sense financially, right? I've bought all the furniture, it fits, it works, it's fine, live here, deal with it. And that's a little bit insensitive. I think there needs to be some significant redecorating. You're remodeling your life, you need to remodel your home.
Well, as the one male on this call, let me ask both of you. I was talking about this at the gym with some of the guys over the weekend, and their main point was, we feel like we don't get any say in this in regards to what gets kept and what doesn't get kept. Share a little bit about that, and I can say from my standpoint, it's not that big a deal. I'm not that attached to that many things. But it seemed as though, at least, talking to a few guys at the gym, because I get these guys come up because they've checked to see who's going to be on next week, and they're like, oh, okay, you're going to be talking about this. Let me tell you my story because I went through this. And but if there was one common thread that came out of talking with these guys was, we feel like it's, okay, we just kind of sit back and that they just tell us this is what's going to go here and this is what's going to go there. And in one of the cases, one of the guys was like, and I was fine with it. And another guy wasn't fine with it. So give us more now of the female perspective of maybe what you're looking at that point while these guys are seeing it a little differently.
So I think that it completely depends on the guy, and some guys really don't care. And then some guys go, wait a minute. So I do think that that's where that communication piece comes in, and they shouldn't feel like it's, they're less masculine or something. If they care about it, they need to say so. And I have an extremely articulate husband, sometimes a little too articulate. And, being the lawyer, he stated his case very well. And he said to me, I don't want to feel like I'm living in your house. And that was like the ice bucket on my head. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. And the shift that happened in me was I said, I need to treat him like a client. Right, that he needs to be represented as if I were decorating the space for him. And that was the paradigm shift. And I think that a woman needs to look at, if she is taking the lead in this case, unless, if he wants to go with her and pick stuff out, that's great. But she needs to present some things like, okay, I picked out these four sofas. Which one do you like? And have him at least get some weigh in and not make it like, for instance, a master bedroom. Let's say, before she was single, hers was pink and dark pink with ruffles and, flowered curtains. And his was, black and gray. Well, neither one of them really wants to be in that bedroom. So you need to find something that is both of you. Blue is a great meeting ground. Green is lovely. Find a color that's for both of you, that's male and female, and makes him feel that it gets his space too. And, some guys don't mind moving the lacy pillow and, whatever, but most guys kind of want to feel like their bedroom is theirs as well. So I think you need to be sensitive.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I know that a female that I was talking to said that she was very uncomfortable about moving into what had been his and his ex-wife's house, that she felt like she was moving into another woman's domain, and it was important to her that it was her domain, that part of it. At one point, I'm glad I thought of this one, when I was talking with a female friend that said, I'm not moving into the bed that he and his ex shared. We're getting a new bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were some things that were just an absolute. It wasn't they were going to communicate and figure it out. It was, this is not going to work. So what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts?
I'm so glad
on,
you brought that up.
On some of those things.
There are certain pieces, the bed, the mattress, the bed linens, they're non-negotiable. You need to start fresh on certain pieces. And some people, I don't, but some people feel funny about silverware. and dishes. They don't want to eat out the same silverware as the ex. You know, you need to honor that. I'm not going to fix that. You just respect that. So, and we had the same situation with when my husband lost his wife, and he was dating, and he said, you know, I had a wonderful 25-year marriage, and I want another one. Now, that was his attitude. And I know when I started dating him, he was really clear, I would like to remarry, and I would not expect my new wife to live in the same house that I lived in with my old wife. That would just not work. So, but I don't want to buy a new house until I have someone I want to buy a new house with. So that's how I kind of just lucked into that situation, because that would have been really awkward.
But that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I think he understood, and it just made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
We have another question, another listener question that has come in, and this says, this one reads, this doesn't just apply to couples, by the way. My daughter announced that she is moving me to live in her gorgeous modern home in Dallas. I know that it is time, as I am 78 years old and have had some ongoing health issues, but she wants me to sell everything and only bring my bedroom set. I can't imagine selling all of my beautiful furnishings, perhaps the bulk of it, but not all of it. It says, you know, I have family heirlooms and paintings that I'm very attached to. We are at a stalemate at this moment. Do you think your book would be good for the two of us to sit down and read together? And this is from Darlene in New York City.
Wow. Well, she touches on a couple big issues. The book that preceded this is Downsizing the Family Home, and that's what to do with a house full of belongings that, you know, my parents are moving into an assisted living apartment from their main house that they lived in for almost 50 years. And, you know, I had to clear it out. I cleared it out to sell some of the contents, but also the house itself to pay for their long-term care. And my dad, with all of his permission, my mom was starting to get some dementia, so she wasn't quite on board. But it was a really hard thing to do. And that's when I wrote that book. And I had my agent wisely told me to expand it to include folks who are older who need to downsize so they don't leave an avalanche of stuff to their kids, who, you know, old, like this woman. And so she is needing to face her mortality and time and her legacy and her history and the family history and what matters and who she was and where she is and where she's been, all that stuff. It brings up a huge wave of emotion. It is so intense. And that book helps people look at that, like where we are in our lives, what we need to do. One of the things I talk about is the downstream effect. Like, do you really want to leave all this for your kids? By the same token, you're not, you know, it can be too premature to snuff everything out. So, gosh, I mean, that's a tricky situation. I'd like to have her be able to negotiate a few more items into her bedroom than just her bedroom set, and maybe insinuate herself in other areas of the house just so she has a small presence. But it doesn't necessarily have to be the piano. You know, it could be a small picture, right? The precious and few and small. Maybe she brings her crystal and they start using her crystal every day. There are ways that she can insinuate herself in acceptable ways, but she's going to have to get rid of a lot if she wants to live with her daughter in Dallas, which does make sense.
Yeah. And you know what?
I would recommend that book. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and here in a moment, I'm going to have everybody, you know, I'll give the website again where they can go and get that book as well. I love the fact that you brought up pictures, because as you were saying that, I thought, you know what? Maybe you can't keep all of these things, but maybe they can put together like a really nice, in this day and age, a very nice video, or a picture book or something like that. So to take pictures of everything so that you can keep part of the memory. But like you said, we can't keep the piano, but we can keep a beautiful picture of the piano, because that will still help with the memory that you're looking for. So, yeah, I think that's a lot of really good advice. Marnie, time has flown by, but I just want to thank you so much for coming on. This has been great. And again, for everybody out there, It is MarnieJameson.com. And Marnie, is there any other ways that is best to get in touch with you or to get the books?
You can email me anytime at Marnie@MarnieJameson.com, and you can reach me through my website as well. So the books are all on there. Just to your point about that last saving thing, I do also have a workbook that people could, it's a scrapbook journal, a place for people to put pictures or scraps of wedding dresses and throw away the garment, but keep the important piece as a tactile memory of what they're letting go of. And that can be very helpful.
That's perfect. Again, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And Jenny, good luck on your last leg of the journey.
Thank you, Marnie, and thank you, Alan.
Well, Jenny, if anybody is just tuning in late, share a little bit real quick just on what it is that you're doing and what they can do to either get more information or how to get involved.
Absolutely. I am just finishing up my walk across America. That's coming up on 3,000 miles, Delaware to California, for the environment. And we are taking action as a group to address climate change. So you can go to our website, ezcard.com/Mother Earth, to learn more. There you'll find how to connect with me on social media and see my story as well.
Thank you, Jenny. Keep up the good work. And we look forward to having you check in with us again next Monday.
Sounds great, Alan. And thank you again, Marnie.
Now, for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we will be joined by our special guest, George Ehrman, to discuss his new book, The Gray Dance of Love, Step-by-Step Guide to Finding Love That Lasts. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio. We're also on Facebook Live. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page. Check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us, leave a review, and continue to spread the word. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.